It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. And on the show today, what lies beneath? As the prayer goes, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Sometimes it's hard to hear, but eventually we'll all return to the earth, which means one of two default options, usually: burial in a casket, or for more and more people, cremation.
So cremation is extremely popular, and it's rising in popularity very quickly. So I think 2 years ago, it hit 50% of Americans choosing cremation. And it's expected to rise up to, 70-80% in the next decade or so.
This is Katrina Spade. She's a bit of an expert in what is broadly called death care. And she says there are a couple reasons why cremation has gotten so popular.
Imagine, for one, the cemeteries that our families might have been buried in, we probably have moved away from. And so there's less of a place-based desire to be buried in one family plot, for example. The other reason is that cremation is much cheaper than conventional burial.
By conventional burial, Katrina means a body filled with embalming fluid, put in a casket that's placed in the ground, surrounded by a concrete liner.
And then I think it's true that folks think that cremation is more environmentally friendly than conventional burial. But put together the manufacture and transport of all of that stuff that goes with a conventional burial and compare it to cremation, which uses fossil gas to burn the body and emits particulates and mercury and carbon into the atmosphere. And in fact, they're really on par with each other from a carbon footprint standpoint.
Katrina started learning about all these environmental problems while she was an architecture student.
And I didn't like the wastefulness of it. Even aside from the pollution, I thought, I might have something left to give back when I die, whatever is in this husk of a body. And so why burn it up? And I knew about natural burial, which is where a body is laid into a grave, usually in just a shroud or a wood or cardboard, sometimes coffin. And it's really about returning to the earth. And I thought, that's beautiful. And yet I love living in cities. And I hate the idea that if you live in a city, like so many in the world do, you'd have to leave it after you die in order to choose an environmentally beneficial choice. So I was thinking about this, and what would the urban equivalent to natural burial be? What would it mean to return to the earth but stay in my city? So those were the very first inklings of this idea.
Katrina Spade explains her idea on the TED stage.
Back in architecture school, I was thinking about all this, and I set out on a plan to redesign death care. Could I create a system that was beneficial to the earth, that used nature as a guide rather than something to be feared? Something that was gentle to the planet. That planet, after all, supports our living bodies, our whole lives. And while I was mulling this all over the drawing board, the phone rang. It was my friend Kate. She was like, "Hey, have you heard about the farmers who are composting whole cows?" And I was like, Turns out that farmers and agricultural institutions have been practicing something called livestock mortality composting for decades. Mortality composting is where you take an animal high in nitrogen and cover it with co-composting materials that are high in carbon. It's an aerobic process, so it requires oxygen, and it requires plenty of moisture as well. In the most basic setup, a cow is covered with a few feet of wood chips, which are high in carbon, and left outside for breezes to provide oxygen and rain to provide moisture. In about 9 months, all that remains is a nutrient-rich compost. The flesh has been decomposed entirely, as have the bones. I know. So I would definitely call myself a decomposition nerd, but I am far, far from a scientist. And one way you can tell this is true is that I have often called the process of composting magic. So basically, all we humans need to do is create the right environment for nature to do its job.
It's like the opposite of antibacterial soap. Instead of fighting them, we welcome microbes and bacteria in with open arms. These tiny, amazing creatures break down molecules into smaller molecules and atoms, which are then incorporated into new molecules. In other words, that cow is transformed. It's no longer a cow. It's been cycled back into nature. See? Magic. You can probably imagine the light bulb that went off in my head after I received that phone call. I began designing a system based on the principles of livestock mortality composting that would take human beings and transform them into soil.
Turning humans into soil. This notion came to you back in grad school, and you were like, I'm going to do this. I am going to figure out how to compost bodies. And over several years, you did research, you recruited advisors, and then you tested your idea.
Yeah, so there was no question in my mind that we could compost humans. We had done, we partnered with Washington State University and the soil science department there to do a pilot project where we composted six humans who had donated their bodies to that work. And that was to prove it was safe and effective. We couldn't just say, oh, well, you know, we do this with cows. We had to prove it worked with humans.
And so after that pilot program, you launched a company called Recompose. What does it offer?
What we do at Recompose is place each individual body into a vessel, a stainless steel container that's about 8 feet long and 4 feet tall. And it's housed in a hexagonal array. So if you look at this vessel system from the front, it looks a little bit like a beehive. And inside of each vessel is one human body laid into a bed of wood chips, alfalfa, and straw, and cover it with more of the same. And then over the course of a month, that vessel, we provide oxygen to the vessel via a fan system. We're kind of constantly aerating that plant material, which is what provides the perfect environment for microbial activity. And those microbes, by the way, they're on us right now as we speak. And they're in the air and they're on the wood chips. So we don't have to inoculate them into the vessel. They just exist naturally. And they'll break the body down and the wood chips and straw in about 30 days.
What does it turn into? Like, does it look like soil?
Or? It looks a lot like soil or maybe a little more like a compost that you would buy at a nursery.
In 30 days? That fast?
Well, not quite. So it's about 6 weeks total. After 30 days, we remove the soil, and then all of the material goes into what we call a cure bin. And so curing is a fancy way of saying compost is drying out and finishing its process. So for another 2 to 4 weeks, the soil is cured, and then it's ready to go back to families. And if families would rather, they can donate it to conservation efforts.
I'm still pretty flabbergasted by your process here, your system to compost humans. But like once the process is finished, like how much soil is there?
Well, because we use so much plant material to cocoon the body in, the final result is a cubic yard of soil. And that's 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet.
Oh, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah. It fills a pickup truck. And it's really interesting because over the years, I've noticed this like push and pull between the ritual and the meaning and the sort of natural side of things, and then the industrial side. Like when we have families, when they want the soil, we say, okay, well, you're going to need a pickup truck or you're going to need a trailer of this size. And so then they, you know, pull up with their trailer and we forklift the soil in, and there's this kind of moment of sometimes it's of levity a little bit because it's like, oh, this was my person once, and now it's a huge amount of soil that I can go use and start that that orchard if I want.
What is human compost like? Are you going to grow super crunchy apples if you use our soil? Like, what are we like as soil?
I was certain that human compost must be special. And it turns out, in fact, the compost we make is pretty good, but we shy against calling it like spectacular. It's just really good compost.
I don't know why that makes us sad, but I don't know. Maybe I thought our big brains would make it particularly nutritious or something.
Nope. But it is worth noting that when you look at the avoidance of pollution from cremation and conventional burial, and then you couple that with the sequestration of carbon that happens when you compost wood chips, alfalfa, and the body, we're saving about a metric ton of carbon per person.
I mean, it's very different than lowering a casket into the ground and everybody wearing black and then throwing dirt over it and then leaving that person behind. I remember one of the first funerals I went to, there was something incredibly sad about leaving the person. It felt like, but now he has to stay there in the ground away from us. I can't explain it. You know, I was a child, but there was something, it just didn't feel kind. But I don't know if you've heard that from other people.
Well, there's a couple of things that feel to me a little bit different than that experience, which sounds hard, by the way. One is that we do mark the moment where we lay the body into the vessel, because it's the minute that this transformation is going to begin. And so our staff will do what we call a laying in ceremony, where the body is on a cradle in front of the vessel. We lay plant material on the body. We then load the body into the vessel. And, you know, the closing of that vessel door isn't totally unlike the burial, I guess, in a lot of ways. I think the difference for me is that we have like a dozen staff people working in this facility. We have this array of hexagonal vessels. They're white, and inside of most of them is a body decomposing. And there's this kind of liveliness about the place in a way. I mean, we like to, on the day when we're laying someone in, we often play the music their family said they loved. So sometimes we'll have like Bob Marley going in the background. And so I think there's something about this, the place where this is happening, and knowing that the transformation does end and a new person joins the hive, if you will, that is a little bit more lively than your typical cemetery, perhaps.
I have to imagine that, you know, while there are people who are very supportive of your work, there must also be people who are not, Katrina. I mean, I have to say, when I have mentioned this to people, human composting, they take a beat and they kind of look at me like, what are you even talking about? And I wonder, for some people, like, you know, not only is it maybe shocking, but also perhaps disrespectful?
You know, the first thing is that I have certainly had folks take a beat when I mention what I do. And then a lot of the time, if you went back to those people like a few days later, you'd be surprised, after giving it some thought, thinking about the current options, a lot of people are like, actually, this is actually pretty nice. You know, it's not for everybody. There's no question. And I really think everyone should have the option they want, as long as they're being intentional about it. I don't think there's really a wrong way. You know, yes, it's more polluting to go with cremation, but also I drive a car. So it's like a little hypocritical to say that you shouldn't have whatever option you want, I think. But the problem is that people choose their death care, or they don't choose their death care. They just go with the default a lot of the time. It's not a meaningful choice. It's just, I guess I'll cremate grandma.
So I assume you want to be composted, right?
Wouldn't it be weird if I said no?
That would be really weird. I mean, but I have to ask just to make sure.
I do want to be composted. But mostly what I want is for my kids and partner to do something every year, like mark my death in any way every year.
So what do you mean by that? Like play a song or go to a place? Because that is what we do now, right? Like we go to pay our respects in a graveyard. We go to a stone if the person is cremated. Like what you're kind of suggesting is that we pay our respects to the dead in a very different way. It's not about going somewhere. It's about the ground beneath our feet and knowing that they are there with us in some way.
Yeah. I mean, think about what happens during the composting process is our molecules are rearranged and we cease to be human. And that is pretty powerful, I think, to just think about truly going back to the earth and then kind of dissipating. Like the entire planet is supported by the process of decomposition. That is how soil is created and what all of life is based on. So if you can just get into that mode and think, okay, I'm going to just be jumping into the stream of creation, you know, I think it can feel pretty joyous.
That's Katrina Spade. She's the founder of Recompose, a company that composts human remains. You can see her full talk at TED.com.